We are joined by Jeff O'Brien. He is a terrific big shot attorney, Chestnut Cambrone. And Jeff, we were just talking off the air. There's so much going on. Maxine Waters has reached her long tentacle into Minnesota, was here in Brooklyn Center, riling people up. And basically, so what was it she exactly said? She was promoting insurrection or violence?
Yeah.
If Derek Chauvin is acquitted, which I don't think is going to happen, but fill us in.
The reporter was questioning her about what would happen, what's going to happen if he is found not guilty, and specifically found not guilty of the murder charges. Because even so, what he's saying is, what if they find him guilty of manslaughter but not murder? And her reaction was, then we should get even more confrontational. So number one, she's out there in the middle of it was another night of Brooklyn Center clashes with police, and she's standing in the middle of this. Certainly sounds to me like she's fomenting insurrection by the January 6th standard. So I'm hoping that Dean Phillips and everybody else that was screaming about Trump impeachment and everything else, and all the Congress members of Congress who are challenging election results, I certainly hope that they apply their own standard, and I hope that there is an impeachment resolution introduced today, and they get her out this week, because by their own standard, she should be sent home.
Yeah, but she will, because she has said, she's been in Congress forever, right? But she has said strange, odd, and stupid things for decades and gets a pass.
Right, but this is where the Republicans have an opening here. She says this, and a couple hours later, we get reports that someone in North Minneapolis was shooting at the National Guard members.
Oh.
So by January, Trump gets impeached a second time because he tells us, march peacefully to the Capitol.
Yes.
That's his fault because they get violent. She says, get more confrontational. A couple hours later, the Guard are shot at. Seems to me a clearer causal case there. I mean, me being a lawyer, they need to make the causal connection a little clearer with Mad Max. I think she should be held accountable.
Well, the Lauren Boberts of Congress certainly have already started out with that, because I think she's introducing a resolution. Or maybe it's the
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Okay, so Boebert weighed in, but Marjorie Taylor Greene, the QAnon congresswoman, is the one who...
Yeah.
See, that's the problem. She'll get ignored and laughed at, and the media will mock her. And
true.
She may be right.
But the important thing is Kevin McCarthy, the Republican leader in the House, tweeted out later yesterday that he's demanding Speaker Pelosi take action. If she doesn't, he will. So Kevin McCarthy is finding his seeds on this, apparently, and is going to try to do something about it, because it's by their own standards from January, she should be thrown out.
Absolutely should be. All right, let's move on. Another local story, carjacking in Burnsville, which is about half an hour, 40 minutes from Brooklyn Center. And this one involved was he 20, the carjacker?
20 years old.
Carjacked a vehicle of a former cop and child. This one, though, and actually you had told me that there were busloads of people ready to go down and protest.
I don't know. Yeah, there were people that were starting to scramble on message boards. I saw some of the
posts. They wanted to try
Twitter
to get that
it.
Going on. All right.
They were monitoring it. They were getting ready to go down there, and then they found out that it didn't fit the narrative, because you have a 20-year-old white guy carjack a black woman who happens to be a former cop and her daughter. And then there's video of the whole thing, and he gets out of the car, and he kind of does his little – he rolls out into the embankment. It was like on a clover leaf. Car keeps going. It finally comes to a stop in the ditch, but he runs across county. He's walking across County Road 13 in Burnsville backwards with a gun up in the air, shooting at the cops with other cars oncoming. So he's walking into oncoming traffic, firing a gun. And if there was ever a justifiable police shooting, it would be this one. But it's still, and for the most part, there wasn't a whole lot of chatter. But we had a DFL state senator, Lindsey Port, and two DFL reps, Jess Hansen and Caleb Berg, that had to come out and put out some pithy little statement about police accountability, even for that.
See, they fit the narrative of these politicians, particularly from the left, coming out and condemning this violence and going basically going after the cops, because that's what they do. They want to defund and get rid of the cops, and it's just there's times when you need to just stand down with your commentary, but they're all whipped up. This was absolutely justifiable. He is shooting back at cops, endangering the lives of others, looking to steal another car. I'm surprised nobody in the path was armed and didn't just take them out themselves. And if you did, would you be charged? If he's shooting in another direction at police and you were to shoot him, would you be charged, or would you get a pass because you're trying to protect everyone else and say, I felt my life was in danger if he looked in my direction?
I'm not certain. I think that, you know, the cop's position would be less, you know, take care of it. Don't get involved in that case. You know, and then I saw some other chatter from some of the Black Lives Matter folks that have been, involved with Brooklyn Center, criticizing the cops for not shooting him sooner, and how somehow that's racist because they didn't shoot him sooner. And it's becoming absurd. I mean, I'm watching. I see the governor is now taking heat from his left side. There was a statement put out that was the Young DFL caucus and the Stonewall caucus, which is the LGBT caucus, that issued a vote of no confidence in him over his handling of the Brooklyn Center stuff.
Well, you know what? This case down in Burnsville and Brooklyn Center. Now, I have to, and we have to keep saying, the woman who shot him, Kim Potter, should never have pulled her gun. She should have pulled her taser. It's inexcusable.
I was told somebody with knowledge, if you look at that video, most importantly, when the one Black officer is handcuffing him, she gets in there. I think you mentioned it to me last week when we first saw the video about her getting her hands in there and stuff, but she mentions about the warrant. And I was told that's not proper protocol. You wait until the suspect is completely handcuffed and restrained before you go talking about warrants. The kid was facing 20 years of life. Of course he was going to flee when he had a chance.
Well, but see, he did attempt to flee, and his attempt is what caused her to make that horrible, as she claimed it was a mistake, horrible mistake. But in Burnsville, this kid, this 20-year-old's attempt, well, he shot back. He brought it upon himself. Yep. And in a sense, now, Wright did not bring the death. He should not have been shot. He should be rotting in a jail right now. But this is what he did. And unfortunately, you don't normally hear, and I don't, maybe it, I'm sure it does happen in some isolated cases, when you comply with police, you don't get shot. That's a thing that for everyone to keep in mind. I tell my kids all the time, keep your hands on the wheel if you get pulled over, and just be very polite. All right, now we got the Chauvin trial. I want to just ask you, Chauvin, I keep calling him Chauvin. Anyway, the Chauvin trial, I at one point thought maybe there'd be one holdout, and they wind up having a mistrial because they cannot get a conviction. After everything that's happened, I would be surprised if there wasn't a conviction and it wasn't relatively quick on something.
Keep in mind also that the trial isn't over with. We have jury instruction. We have closing arguments today, so part of it depends on what defense counsel says to the jury in terms of framing the issues, as well as those jury instructions. Those are going to be very important here, especially on those murder counts.
Yep.
So there's one more day here to go. My gut is that he is convicted on the second degree manslaughter. I think that the prosecution might be able to convince the jury the culpable negligence standard, and particularly something was going wrong with him and they should have recognized it. But we'll see what Eric Nelson has for his closing argument on the murder charges. I will say this: even if he's convicted, those are going to be appealed. Because I think you're going to see a motion for a new trial. I think you're going to see appeals on that. And I think that part of the reason, so there's been some criticism of the defense. I think the defense has always known that the deck has been stacked against them. So they were going to put on a case and hold their fire until the appeals. This case is long from being over. I still believe this case should not have been held in Hennepin County, especially when you've got a juror from Brooklyn Center going home over the weekend and seeing all the stuff that's going on with the Dante Wright incident. This guy is, I don't think you can say he got a fair trial.
Oh.
And we'll see what goes on here in the months to come. There's definitely going to be appeals. You've got a jury that is very cognizant of the fact that their decision could set off Minneapolis again.
Jeff, as always, greatly appreciated. Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. We will take a quick break, and the BS show will be right back.